Wayne State College is where your choice of 130 academic pathways lead to the career that's right for you. It's where the region's lowest cost bachelor's degree opens doors to high-paying, in-demand jobs. It's where small class sizes turn into big careers. And it's where opportunities today prepare you to lead tomorrow. Wayne State College. Our focus is your future. Get your career started today at explorewaynestatecollege.com.
Happy Monday, Internet homies. Welcome to the ROI of Y, your number one podcast that focuses on all things impact and purpose as it relates to business. This is Andrew Tuzon, as always, joined by my partners in crime, Angie Kubicek, and the very lovely Dustin Sound Guy.
Hello.
What's up? That's like almost two in a row now that did the shout out for you.
I know.
I'm loving this podcast now.
Now we're going to see our listenership go way up.
Yeah, they're going to be like,
Dustin. Tell those other fools to zip it.
Yeah.
Let's hear more from you.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Yeah. He doesn't have the mustache rub effect on the microphone either.
So I don't either, for the record.
No. That's fair.
Just to clarify.
I feel like right now I've got enough mustache for the whole room.
That's
a weird sentence, actually. It is. Anyways, welcome to this week's episode.
Could that have gone into like the Netflix tweet that happened where it was, what's the thing you can, as a brand, you could tweet, but that you could also say in the bedroom?
Did you see that streak?
It was like a well done Netflix because like every brand was participating. But yeah. I feel like mac and cheese. Kraft mac and cheese won by saying it'll be done in 7 to 10 minutes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The responses were.
So it's brands actually jumping in?
Brands, because it was like, what is something for your brand to tweet, but that you could also say in bed? That came from Netflix account. And then it was like every, like,
what did
good
Wendy,
brand.
I want to know what Wendy said.
Oh, I don't, you know, the sad thing is just because Wendy's is Wendy's at this point, it's like, it's just, could they be the most jarring? It's almost like, the innocent brands that
surprise
that
you.
That surprised and is like, hey, I can't believe they responded. And then I hope that guy's still in.
You still got a job, bud? You good?
Yeah, I mean, some of them, if you want a really good read, they're pretty good. Like, New York Times, theirs was pretty money. Audi said 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds.
Cool.
Like some of them were very on brand, and then some of them were extremely on brand, but just like that is really inappropriate when you read it as a reply to that tweet. But on its own,
wholesome,
it makes very sensible sense.
Cool.
So deadliest catch, I've got crabs.
Like it's can you just slack funny, that to me
right
yeah it's not the crab thing specifically but just like the URL
yeah it's cool. It's really good. So brands, if you're looking for a way to get other people to really talk about you,
just tell them you got crabs. Man,
Hampton by Hilton may also win. Breakfast is included.
Nice.
I
like
good.
That.
Yeah, good time. So speaking of purpose.
That was one hell of a transition, though. Well played.
Yeah, right? Just got to bring it back in sometimes. Mm-hmm. But a nice little derail.
Yeah.
It's good times.
Yeah. Well, set the stage for us. What are we doing today? We're
going
to rip through some pretty fun stuff.
So after we talked about vulnerability the other week and leadership, I think that for me, and partially I think some of this is like it's where my own focus is in my life right now is just trying to make sure I'm a better leader to the team and accessible and vulnerable and all the things. But and you mentioned it a couple podcasts ago about how multitasking is a farce and that we all need to stop saying we do it because all it means is you're doing everything else at half-assed at best.
Yep.
And so it made me think about like being a listener and a communicator within the workplace with your clients, with your team members, whomever, in your personal life, work life, and how that can help not only sell your vision through by actually listening, mm-hmm. being an active participant, but then listening with empathy, and how that can change communication in the workplace from a potentially toxic and hostile environment to a very open and mm-hmm. receptive environment, and how that can really help a company, especially during some of those tough times, but then can make those good times sing even louder.
So yeah, for sure.
I thought that would be a good one for us to just jump in and kind of talk about some strategies we've deployed.
All about it.
To help us with that. And since I think you're one of the first people I think that has called the multitasking on the carpet in my personal life that like I know.
Really?
Yeah, it's just I think so many of us are like I can do it. And then when we think about authenticity and vulnerability, it's like, mm-hmm. no, you can't, man. I can see right through it. Yeah. So I really respect that. And it's, again, trying to be more mindful, it's made me kind of audit myself. So mm-hmm. for you, like did you get to that like awareness moment that is completely bullshit? But then mm-hmm. also, when you're listening intently to somebody, how do you help yourself stay focused when you're in those communication moments?
I was thinking about something else. Can you repeat the question? Mm-hmm. How well did I get played. To the moment where I realized that multitasking was a farce? That's hard because there are many variables within that equation, uh-huh. and there's some gnarly PEMDAS at play there. God. I mean, this is like three episodes in a row. I have to tip the proverbial hat to Roger Sipe. A lot of those sensibilities, at least like the surface level, like I heard the thing, came from him. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I don't remember how much of it we've talked about on the show, but I know you and I have had some personal conversations just about like the gnarly that has been 2019 for mm-hmm. me on a personal and some professional stuff as well level. And a lot of those experiences have really exponential U-curve, just ramped up the way that I'm looking at myself professionally, personally, the time that I spend with myself to make myself a better, you know, leader, person, dad, partner, all the things. And when I really started looking at input-output as it relates to the Daily Delta here at HQ, and you look at the punch list of stuff that is never ending, but you still have to get everything done. And like you said in our last episode, you're trying to figure out how to cram 38 hours and do 24 a day. I started looking at, okay, I have gnarly OCD. I am pretty efficient with most things in terms of getting it done. Why am I not able to like mm-hmm. move my way through this punch list? And that's when I really started looking at where does the time go, and then kind of cross, you know, comparing that to Roger's comment about when you are interrupted, whether it's like somebody interrupts you or mentally you're interrupted to do another thing, there's that 17-minute window that is required mm-hmm. to get full rip back into the zone. And so I just kind of tested it, right? And it was, okay, let's not allow ourselves to go there. And anytime you're trying to break habits or change the way your mind looks at things or reacts to things, that's an ongoing battle for sure. But I was able to see a direct correlation between trying to be mindful of or remaining mindful of not going from one thing to another, or, you know, not entertaining the shift. And it was so much easier to get through the stuff, mm-hmm. right? So that was really helpful for me. How do I remain mindful of the things, like you had said? God, I don't know, because I don't know how I remember like anything. I can barely tell you what I had for lunch yesterday. If I have a thing I have to do and it doesn't hit my to-do list or it's not on my calendar, my bad, because it didn't happen.
I have a similar affliction, yeah.
But it also takes about, you know, what is it, 28 days to make a habit. Mm-hmm. And with the new morning rhythm that I've developed this year, that is that morning contemplation. That is a lot of the stuff that I have taken into that mentality or that mindset, is just being mindful of all the things, right? Because it's one thing to think about something that's powerful, impactful, rooted in gratitude, whatever, and have a really, really positive experience in the morning. And then by the time you get to the office, it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. If you're not mindful of it, it goes away. So there was a lot of just like training that within myself of trying to remain mindful of stuff. I don't want to let a lot of these sensibilities, feelings, experiences be for naught.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is just like repetition, to be frank, right?
Yeah.
So
Well, and I think the other piece of it, so when we think about communication in the workplace and being that active participant in a conversation, I think we touched on it on one of the episodes where, like, you commented on that you ditched the smartwatch, or you have an iWatch, but it's at home, and yep. you don't wear it because you feel like you are disengaged as soon as that thing vibrates on yep. your wrist. Yep. So I've been thinking about our conversation and kind of my own actions within a meeting or a conversation or at home. And I'm finding that in order for me to actually be a good communicator, I have to limit my communications. Mm-hmm. And so it's now I'm trying to reset expectations on my availability.
Yep.
And it's not because I'm trying to be like, oh, I'm only open these times and my time is so precious, but it's because I want to make sure that when I'm in a meeting with somebody or if I'm working on something, that I'm fully able to dive in and dedicate to the project. So mm-hmm. I personally feel like the miscommunication happening in the workplace is partly because we are too distracted. Mm-hmm. And that is what's leading to this like ridiculous work hour cycle mm-hmm. versus if we were actually just focused and right. really efficient with our time,
yep.
that a conversation that could take an hour could be done in 20 minutes.
Do you remember when we did the 3 days that was the Do More Good conference? Mm-hmm. Oh, for me, amazing. That was like one of the best like 3 days of practicing that
yeah.
I've ever had, because we did so many interviews back to back to back in that 3 day span.
You were laser focused.
And we had talked about it at the end of one of those days. It's like, holy hell, I'm exhausted. We didn't pick up things or build a thing or whatever, but you have to stay so yeah. plugged into the words that are coming out of the person's mouth, because when it's your turn to talk, you got to have stuff to say too.
Right. And
right?
you don't want to like miss the conversation flow either yep. and be like, I'm sorry, I really didn't catch anything you just
yep.
said to me.
Yep.
And I think that's like the first thing we have to retrain within the workplace is how to be active listeners. We have a rule that's like no technology in a meeting. And I'm not going to lie, like half the time I'm like, that's so cute, because
I break it in 90% of the
meetings. Yeah. But I've really started to hold myself to task to the point that I think I'm going to start leaving my laptop and my phone in my office during my meeting, so that way I can truly focus in on a conversation, which also means you have to come prepared to a meeting, which is a whole nother issue.
But I was gonna say, like, you're gonna take notes on paper like a savage?
Actually, yeah. Well, it's slightly advanced, but I don't know if you've heard of Rocketbook. Mm-mm. But you can take notes on it, so it's pinned to paper, so it helps you retain, because that is a thing. Mm-hmm. But it has
smart pen almost.
It's a friction pen, so it can erase. But it has codes on it and little symbols, and it's an app, a Rocketbook. You can then sync it, but it can connect into Evernote, Google Docs, Drive, wherever you want it to sync up to, send emails, and you can then digitally send yourself those notes.
Sick.
And then, but then the sustainable part is it's on paper, but you can either erase the pen, and it has like a eraser thingy, or like I have one that I could literally put a cup of hot water in a mug, put it on top of my notebook, microwave it for a minute, and the ink is gone. Like,
what
magic.
Kind of voodoo witchcraft
I know,
is that?
And they're not even paying me to say this, but but I find I retain a hell of a lot more when I actually physically write my notes out.
Yep.
But then secondarily, when I don't have my laptop or my phone with me, I'm forced to not be distracted, mm-hmm. come prepared to meetings, and actually have an influence on the room I'm in versus mentally deciding what I'd rather stay on top of email or send this thing off, or it forces you to prioritize when you take away your access to technology all
for
the
sure.
time.
For sure. So that's amazing. I'm going to have to check that pen out, because the reason because I agree, if I actually write it, mm-hmm. my retention is like through the roof.
Yeah.
But I choose to type it because I use, you know, the same to-do list that's pushed to all my devices. Mm-hmm. And if I'm in a meeting and there's things I need to take notes, that's one thing. But if like I said at the beginning of this conversation, if it doesn't hit my to-do list, it doesn't get done. So that's like the double-edged sword. What mm-hmm. And I've got maybe a, you know, 80% kill rate with this. But what I do before I go into these meetings that I take my computer in to take notes on, or spend to-dos, is I don't allow myself to access Chrome.
Yeah, and that's where you have to have self-restraint. Mm-hmm. So is you really have to hold yourself back from that, yep. because
if I just exit, quit, mm-hmm. you know, force quit or fully quit, like mail, Slack, and my browser. So yeah. I don't get any notifications. Cause for me, that's always, that's the squirrel, right? Oh, it's just like, yeah. This person said a thing. I'm like, oh man, I only saw like the first like half of that sentence, but it looked interesting.
And then how narcissistic are we that like whenever I get a Slack, I'm like, oh, they need me right away.
Right.
And it's like, we all need to get over ourselves because this like constant tie into people makes mm-hmm. us so narcissistic. Yeah,
they need
like,
you right away. They'll come into the room.
Oh my gosh,
right?
They're never going to be able to survive in the next hour if I don't send them a response. Like how insane is it that we have literally given everyone that feeling? Mm-hmm. I mean, even think about like the system of notifications on Facebook, like when it rings, I mean, I have a watch that lets me know when someone's like liked my Facebook post. And mm-hmm. it's like, really? That's my judgment of my day of happiness of like, oh yes, I got that notification. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to like take back that power of like the notification running the day, but yep. it also allows that better participation.
Yeah.
And a meeting. And so I think that's...
What's that pen called again?
The book is called a rocket book. So it's a notebook. And then the pens are friction pens. And those work on like any notebook.
Cool.
And then if you're like... So I use it because I am an atrocious speller. But B, need, you know, scratch out stuff. Instead of scratching stuff out all the time, you can just erase it. And it works great. It's not like the erasable pens from like my childhood. But they actually work, which is, you know, an impressive thing. So as we're... talking about, so if we eliminate the distractions, let's assume we do that. The mm-hmm. next thing, and you talk about this all the time, but is like not projecting in a conversation.
Sure.
And I think in this world where we're all busy, we're all stressed, mm-hmm. have our own things happening, what are ways that you kind of, especially as you, if you're going in for like a tough combo, mm-hmm. how do you check yourself to make sure that you're not projecting when you're listening?
Well, I'm going to try to approach this in the safest way possible. And when I say safe, I mean, I just don't want to take us down this like really weird, heady rabbit hole.
You never.
I never do that. No. So, gosh, perception is reality, mm-hmm. right? We all have this incredible ability to create the worlds within which we live. And what is real or what we feel or think is real is based on what we think, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, not only is that entire rabbit hole just fascinating as hell, but it's very interesting to me that each one of us create our own rabbit hole in that context. And it's very, you know, fascinating to me, and it's something that I want to know more about, right? So mm-hmm. when I say the deployment of empathy, it's not just like, oh, I feel for you, whether I've had a similar experience or not. I genuinely want to know,
yeah,
like, well, how does that make you feel, right? Not because I'm trying to like use that as leverage in the conversation or like try to, you know, better equip myself for another experience that's mm-hmm. similar to this or, you know, whatever. It's like, I genuinely want to know because, again, like perception is reality. And so for me, going into those conversations, the more like attentive I can be and plugged into the conversation I can be, the better I'm going to, better job I'm going to do at not only capturing what I need to do coming out of that or like sending an effective message that is received and parsed properly, but it also gives me an opportunity to like have a real human interaction. And that's my biggest motivation. And I know I've touched on this before because I feel like so much of our experiences that we have every single day are veneer and superficial as hell.
Yeah.
Right? We go through the motions so often. How's your day, Brian? Good, Steve. Right? Like, but Brian and Steve, like, Brian had his headphones in, right? Like, yeah. He's just over there listening to Chelsea Grin.
Right.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, it's like we are like robotically operating almost like lemmings in a lot of senses. And I mentioned this in our last conversation, like we have this ability or this opportunity to really introduce mm-hmm. meaningful moments or experiences, even if it's just some like the littlest shit in somebody's day, just by kind of flipping the script or giving them something that's real.
Yeah.
And so that to me is the biggest motivator is like when I see an opportunity to have a real human interaction, that grabs me intensely.
Yeah. And I think you kind of touched on something really important with that in that you're asking the questions. There's really two key pieces of being a great communicator. asking a question mm-hmm. and then listening.
Yeah.
But the asking the question piece is actually asking an open-ended question. Mm-hmm. And you then, the person, have to be open to listening mm-hmm. to their actual answer and then not interrupting them. Mm-hmm. So, which is a personal trait that I'm working on, is that I always am like, I want to drive in, or I have a response, or I think this is where, and I just jump in, and it's like, no, you just need to shut up mm-hmm. and let them say their truth, their piece, or whatever, their opinion. And so for me, a tactic I was taught and informed of is that write what you want to say mm-hmm. or make notes during what they're speaking to you about, so that way you're kind of responding, but you're still listening, but you're able to not actually interrupt them.
Yeah.
And then when you do get the opportunity to respond, you either have your notes that you've like mentally, like mindfully been like, oh, this was important,
mm-hmm.
or you've now heard their whole piece and maybe your notes aren't valid.
Right.
So before you kind of jump in and change the narrative of that conversation, if you truly just wait for someone to be done,
yeah.
that lack of interruption can actually get you a lot more clarity.
Yeah, clarity and context, right? Mm-hmm. And most often, at least for me, it helps me avoid open mouth, insert foot.
Oh, yeah.
Which sucks. But it's awesome that you have a very similar approach to it as I do.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that's what you were doing. So several times on this show, like, we have our exchanges and it's your turn to talk, and then I'll hit you with, okay, well, I have three things. And you're like, oh, wow, I like the way that you like do that. That's because I just take mental, I'm doing exactly that with my mind. It's like, that's a piece that I want to talk about.
I wish I had that memory.
Well, it's because it's in the moment.
Yeah.
If it was 30 minutes later, I wouldn't remember what those three things are, though. I need that pen.
You need the pen. I know. What to get you for your birthday.
Boom.
There we go. But yeah, I think the note-taking can be a good tool for people who struggle with that, like mm-hmm. not inserting themselves too much. But then also don't have an end goal in mind when you're asking for clarity or going to get answers from someone.
Sure.
Your end goal could just be, I need clarity. But mm-hmm. if you're making assumptions going into a conversation, you're going to miss a lot and leave a lot of context on the floor, which can be extremely problematic. Yeah. So
I think it could also be helpful if we look at the other side of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
When what I mean by that is, like, let's say that we have somebody who's operating in a sales capacity. They are going to have an objective in that conversation, and that is to obtain the business.
Yeah.
Right. But the best salespeople on the face of the planet sell with their ears.
Right.
Right. So in the event where somebody's in a room having a conversation, asking open-ended questions, shutting the hell up, and allowing their mm-hmm. prospective client, customer, whatever, to just break them off on all the things, yeah, it gives you the opportunity to like really obtain the clarity and the context, but it also gives you purview and insight into potentially more mm-hmm. issues that you could help solve, more goals that you could help them achieve. And I feel like, in my experience, the salespeople that take that approach are far more consultative and successful than, you know, Brian and Steve.
Yeah. It's really important that people are doing that. And that's where it's like, then if we're reflecting back, like, hey, this is what I've heard from you.
Mm-hmm.
It also then, when you lead with that after you've done your listening,
mm-hmm.
it also makes sure that you've heard the right message. Because so often when I have to go and like bring two different parties together mm-hmm. or if a client had an expectation but the team missed the deliver, a lot of it's because we just assumed we heard the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, where we're listening from our own perspective versus somebody else's perspective. So, like, I do a lot of webinars, and I always like to kick everyone off, every single one off with, like, when I say this, this is what I mean mm-hmm. by that, because there might be a different definition to the term depending on where you live and how you operate. And that's a really important clarity moment, I think, again, the good listeners
mm-hmm.
roll with. And we always, when I do a social media webinar, I always tell people that there's a reason that we have two ears and one mouth,
mm-hmm.
is that with social media, you should be doing more listening than speaking and engaging.
Yep.
And that goes with our communication skills with our teams, mm-hmm. is making sure that we're doing a lot more of that in the workplace and in that environment. And you know, it's interesting. We talk a lot about companies with purpose
mm-hmm.
and how they've shaped their organizations. I think that this is probably one of those things that those teams work on a lot as they kind of go to operate with that purpose, is how do we make sure we're communicating it effectively, listening to our team members, and building that out for the whole thing. I just feel like between being good communicators, you have to have that level of vulnerability.
Yeah.
To lead with vulnerability, you have to be okay with having a certain mission, vision, and values within your team and self. And then when you kind of are getting those aligned, you kind of get to that purpose statement
right.
of what your company is leading for. So if you're one of those companies on those paths, I would say the last few podcasts would be good areas to explore mm-hmm. within your team if you're trying to figure out what that would be. But
yeah, well, they're all a part of the same ecosystem, right?
Like totally.
They're all systemic of one another. So you had talked about how, you know, to really be plugged in and focused in a conversation, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But then you had also said, my takeaway from it, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially I got like a lot of people are listening for keywords.
Yeah.
Right. They're not actually listening to, like for the entire like context, the entire conversation. They're looking for like the quick fire nuggets. Okay. This.
Yeah.
And no, I was there. You talked about like bacon and then, you know, carpet and then like sunsets. And it's like,
what a conversation. But, bacon, carpets, and sunsets.
Yeah. Whew. It's weird in here. But like my question for you, and not to derail us too far, is like, why do you feel like that's the norm now? Is that derivative of this, like, we can all multitask thing? Or like,
yeah.
What does your gut say?
I think the multitasking, mm-hmm. but I think this is going to sound really nerdy, but my gut thought just went to, it's how we have started to search at our fingertips.
Ooh,
so I'm an SEO nerd yeah. in my backbone of like just where my career was. And when I think about where Google was 10, 15 years ago, mm-hmm. it was all about key term searches.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe it's because my perspective of where I started my career, but everything was like in little nuanced searches. Mm-hmm. And so we've, as a society, we can discover anything at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
So I want that instant gratification.
Yeah.
We do the 3-second scroll. We're instantly yep. scrolling. We have like under 3 seconds to get someone's attention anymore yep. as companies and brands, which doesn't change too much from our personal interactions. Mm. So we are already jumping in our brains to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would have to say, I think it's because we have conditioned ourselves with our ability to search anything.
Damn.
Wow. I can't believe that was my gut.
That was
my gut response.
No, I think that's spot on.
What for you? I mean,
I didn't like have an answer prepared for that, but damn, I feel like you nailed it though. That it's all about behavior, right? Like we're conditioning ourselves. Like I'm just thinking through like the way in which I query the net. Like if I need to mm-hmm. find a technology for this project or I'm trying to do a thing, like when I'm going through different articles or websites or whatever, I'm quickly grabbing keywords so I can go into a mm-hmm. into Google and find the thing I need really quickly. Man, that's interesting.
Or like, I don't know, Control F or Apple F is my mm-hmm. favorite functionality.
Yep.
In the world.
Yeah.
And so if I'm trying to read content or get extra context or something, I don't sometimes read the entire thing. I just look for the thing I'm trying to get to. Mm-hmm. And then I look for those stats and insights. And so for me, it's like just quickly scroll through. And I think that's how we have started to have conversations.
Damn. I like that.
Which again, now that I say that, I'm like, oh my God, as I'm saying it, I'm like, I think I do that. And then it's, I listen for, yeah. if you are multitasking, you know what you're listening for. Mm-hmm. And so then you zone out and you're typing and, oh yeah, yeah, I need to be aware during yeah. this part of the conversation, which is not great. And so for me, I'm someone who I will tell anyone to their face, if you see me multitasking, tell me to stop because mm-hmm. I'm already not listening to you 50% of our conversation.
Right.
And so I really tried to like retrain myself to not always being busy. And so then the second part of it to go down that heady train is like, are we so busy that we need to be on technology all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Or have we created a culture of like, I need to look so busy that it's almost like, oh my God, you had time to sit there and actually listen to me without your mm-hmm. technology out? That is crazy.
I feel like that one for sure.
So
right? It's become super cool to be stressed out. The amount of busy that you are is a byproduct of how successful you are.
Yeah. So right? I would say a challenge to everyone who listens. Everyone take a week. Do not use your technology for some of your meetings and mm-hmm. let us know, is that, what did you gain out of it? What did it change the way your team ran? Did it change the way you were able to get things yeah. done that week? Did it make you more efficient? I would mm-hmm. love to hear that feedback because
I would too. I've never done something like to that extreme mm-hmm. as far as like the workplace goes. But I did about 4 years ago run a little like experiment on myself as it relates to just like my need to check a thing, Facebook for this example, and I deleted Facebook from my phone, right? Just killed the app altogether.
I think like half our audience just like passed out.
No, I hate social media. Like the irony of, you know, owning two agencies that focused on it, I get that, but I hate it. I hate it. But anyways, like the where I had it on my phone was like the bottom right corner of one of the screens on my iPhone. And when you delete that spot, it doesn't automatically move all the apps over to fill the gap. So I intentionally left it blank, okay, for half of it. That was for the first 2 weeks. And the second 2 weeks, I'll get to that in a second. So delete it. And the amount of times I would open up my phone out of habit and just hit that empty spot
was insanity.
So then what I did is I found another app. I don't even remember what it was, but it had a blue app icon. And I threw that there for the last 2 weeks to see, okay, I'm going to introduce blue into that space again and just see what my brain does. Because you would see like it like decrease over time how often I was thumbing at that. But the second blue was there again, it was like, it was like relapse straight up, right? So I needed to go to FA, you know, Facebook's Anonymous, and work through the steps. And,
I've had that moment where I've thought I've deleted an app that was like on my home screen but I didn't know which one it was just because it was such a memory that it was there, but I didn't know which app was there, and that panic of like, what did I just delete? And then I have to level set. It's like, you'll survive.
It was a cool experience.
It's still within your phone. You just got to figure out.
Yeah, you got to go dig for it now. But it was really eye-opening to see like just the dependency or just like habits that we form, which is why I say all that because of your, you know, your SEO search comment again. See? It's like, so much habit.
Yeah, there's a lot of habit forming. So, kind of takeaway. Make sure you shut it down. Focus. Listen.
Yeah.
Take notes. Do the thing. But let us know. Like, really try, and as we do this vulnerable leadership, as we're working to build companies that are standing for more than purpose, a lot of times that purpose stands with how we treat our teams.
Yeah.
And if you thought, we're really honest, does your team feel like they're being heard?
Yeah.
And I would say a lot of times it's no, based on that distraction wall. So
for sure. And if anyone out there who's listening, you know, has experienced a thing or tried a thing that was super, super effective or efficient for them that we haven't, you know, touched on, drop that on us too. Because I always want to try new things to, you know, be a grown up and stuff. So.
Awesome.
Great. Well, this one was fun too.
I know. Yeah, it's
super
always
like these
time.
Conversations. So thanks for, you know,
just
making
keeps
it happen.
Me in check to like make sure I'm doing a better job every week. I need to do that more.
This is good. Well, make sure you guys subscribe, leave those 5-star reviews.
Yes.
Join us next Monday for another episode of the ROI of Why. Until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.